Blog Talk Radio.
Come along.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is August the 16th, year of our Lord 2022, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person services. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist of Holly Springs. Of course, we are taking every precaution to make sure that the people are safe in the house of God. We are taking temperatures at the door, asking you to wear your face covering, sterilizing your hands, and we are practicing social distancing. We're doing all that we can to take every precaution to make sure that you are safe in the house of God. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist of Holly Springs. Of course, you know that fourth Sunday, we'll be celebrating Women's Day. Fourth Sunday is Women's Day at First Baptist. Our special guest speaker will be Evangelist Lakeitha Chapman. She is the First Lady of Peak City Full Gospel Baptist Church in Apex, North Carolina. Evangelist Chapman is also the First Lady of Peak City Full Gospel Baptist Church, and we'll be looking to have a great time in the Lord with her on the fourth Sunday in this month. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you'll find the various programs that we have going on. For instance, you will find the Women's Day program on the Facebook page. You'll also find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. Also, if you are not able to come on Sunday morning or if you are out of the area, you can see the Sunday morning services of First Baptist. We go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We go live on Facebook. You can see the Sunday morning services of First Baptist. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. There is a link that you can click on, and it will take you directly there. You can hear the Bible study over the internet. If you would like to call in and be a part of the Bible study, we do have a call-in number. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number, and you can speak to us directly in the studio tonight. Now, there are four ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can actually come to church on Sunday morning and bring your tithes and offering with you, or you can stop by the church any Sunday between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Church officials are there to make sure that your contributions are accounted. You can also mail your tithes and your contributions into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. And we do have a Cash App. We wanted to make it available for everyone to give. That Cash App starts with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can use the Cash App, and you can be a supporter of First Baptist tonight. We thank God for all of you who have been supporting the house of God with your tithes and with your offerings, and those of you who have been praying for the church and making sure that we have everything that we need in the house of God to continue to do the work that God has commissioned us to do. So we are so very glad, and we're just so very thankful for all of you who are continuing to support First Baptist, and those of you who have not supported First Baptist, we pray that you will see an opportunity wherein you can be a great support to the house of God as well. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for another Bible study. We pray, God, that as we go into our study tonight, we start to talk about our topics tonight, that you will have your way in this topical conversation, that you will still our hearts and still our minds, that we may be receptive to the topics that we speak about tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come through this medium and being able to speak to the people of First Baptist and those who are everywhere through the miracle of internet. So we thank you so very, God. We thank you so very much, God. We pray that you will continue to bless us as we continue to do your work. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, we will be doing our scriptural study. That's what we normally do for Bible study. But every now and then, we have to take the time to talk about some things that are happening in the church and in the community and in the country. See, I am painfully aware that in the worship of too many churches, there is barely even a mention of the world's horrors. Instead of lamenting and confessing and interceding with specificity and honesty, these churches tend to avoid and deny and minimize public trauma that is all around them. The understandable desire for respite from trauma ends up perpetuating a pattern of disengagement from society. And that's the last thing that the church needs to do, is disengage itself from society. So every now and then we have topical discussions. We come together. I think it's very important that we talk about some things that affect us in our lives and affect us in our cities and our homes, things that affect us every day. So we're taking this time out tonight to have a topical discussion. Now, there are several topics that I'm going to speak on tonight. Then I'm going to open the line to hear what you think or what you perceive about these topics. One of the first topics, or the first topic that I want to bring up, is the elephant in the room, and that's the fact that across the country, religious congregations have reopened after a long period of pandemic, according to Pew researchers. This comes from the Pew Research Society. But there has been little or no rising number of people attending in-person religious services over the last 6 months, while the number of those watching services online also begins to steadily climb up. The survey of 10,441 U.S. adults taken in March, between March 7th and March 13th, showed that 47% respondents say they attend church services in person that month, compared to 67% who said that they would rather watch on the internet. Likewise, these streaming services online remain steady through the month of September, October. Pew researchers suggest in-person religious services and attendance could rise if the pandemic continued to recede or to drop and a new coronavirus variant emerges. As we see that this coronavirus is still here with us, and of course we have now another disease called monkeypox, and I don't know what that is, but it seems as if it's not one thing, it's another. And many of people are not returning to the house of God. I had someone ask me just recently, about a month ago, was First Baptist open? Evidently, some churches are still closed. Some churches are still having online services. And then there are those who would say that people can go anywhere else they want to go. They can go to church. So what do you think about that? Do you think that people using the coronavirus as an excuse not to come to church? If so, why? That is a very looming question for churches everywhere, even big churches that had audiences of 700 to 800 people down to 100 or 200 people. Even churches that had 100 or 150 people are down to 60 people, 50 people. So what is going to happen? How are we going to alleviate that problem? Are we just going to have to ride it out? Are we going to have to continue to have online services as well? What do you think about that? What do you think about that particular topic? Then, of course, another topic that has been in the news quite a lot comes from PBS station, the PBS Broadcast Network, dated June 8th, 2022, is the gun violence in America. In this year alone, 247 mass shootings have occurred in America. 27 of them were school shootings. And like many of us, we have been deeply affected by the most recent news of gun violence across the United States. In this year alone, as I said before, 247 mass shootings, and 27 of them have been school shootings. You see, honestly, many of us are still processing the news of the white supremacists who targeted and shot black community members in Buffalo, New York. And we're also still lamenting and still grieving over the young children that died in the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. This relentless cycle of shock and sadness and grief adds to the feeling that so many have feel that we're just simply not safe anywhere. As we continue to move forward, despite the grief and the pain we're experiencing, there are some resources we hope will help in this situation. Gun violence doesn't just affect victims. The trauma also impacts survivors, their families, and their communities, as well as society at large. Too often, we can develop trauma fatigue, even as we're trying to help the victims and families of shootings and do our part to prevent school shootings and gun violence in general, which makes us all feel helpless in the face of relentless violence. While the American Psychological Association recommends that we acknowledge our feelings, it's also important to try to remember what's happening and why it's so hard for us to stop gun violence in America. Listen to this. Every day in America, an average of 321 people are shot, according to Bradley United research. Of that number, 111 die, 42 are murdered, 65 die of suicide, one is shot and killed by accident, another is shot by law enforcement, and another dies of undetermined causes. And while we're talking about that, let's talk about grief. That's another topic. Grief. What is grief? I've done grief counseling in the early days of ministry. Grief is a natural response to loss. It's the emotional suffering we feel when something or someone you love has been taken away. Often the pain of loss can feel overwhelming. You may experience all kinds of difficult, unexpected emotions, from shock to anger to disbelief to guilt to profound sadness. The pain of grief can also disrupt our physical health, making it difficult for us to sleep, difficult for us to eat, or even think straight. There are normal reactions to loss, and the more significant the loss, the more intense the grief will be. Coping with loss or the loss of someone or something you love is one of life's biggest challenges. You may associate grieving with the death of a loved one, which is often the case of most intense types of grief. But there are many other causes of grief, including divorce, a relationship breakup, loss of health, loss of job, loss of financial stability, a miscarriage, retirement, death of a pet, loss of a cherished dream, a loved one's serious illness, loss of a friendship, loss of safety after trauma. Even subtle losses in life can trigger a sense of grief. For example, you might grieve after moving away from home or graduating from college or changing a job. Whatever your loss, it's a personal loss to you. So don't feel ashamed about how you feel or believe that it's something or somehow associated with just you. Every person goes through some type of grief. If a person or relationship leaves us, it is a hard thing to handle. Whatever the cause of your grief, go through a healthy way to cope with the pain that in time can ease your sadness and help you come to terms with your loss and find new meaning and eventually move on with your life. So what about grief? So many people are going through grief right now, this time of the year, and so many people have suffered so many losses in their lives. What about grief? What can we talk about grief? Have you ever been so down in grief that you find yourself in one of those positions? So let's talk about grief tonight. Also, two more subjects I'm going to be through. One of them is voting. We have an election coming up in November. It's very important for us. It seems that we have to continue to remind our people about the importance of voting. It's important for us to get people out to vote because that's where laws and bills and legislature is made through those who are voted into the Congress and voted into the Senate. And if we're going to continue to have equal equality across the board in America, we have to make sure that the right people are elected to positions. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to vote and to get our people to get out and vote. Every time voting comes up, we are the least likely to go to the polls. What can we do about that? How can we talk to our people to get them to understand the importance of voting? It is a right that people died for. It is a right that so many of our ancestors worked so hard to get for us. And yet, seems as if we take it for granted that we can automatically vote. Now, listen, let me explain something to you, and I want you to research it, because voting for the African-American was signed into bill in 65 by President Lyndon Johnson, if I'm correct. It was a bill that was signed in. We did not get the right to vote through the Constitution. Our right to vote came through Congress. That means that anytime Congress wants to repeal that vote or go back and take that vote away, they simply can. So I think it's important that we let our people know that voting is not just a choice, but voting is a necessity for us, because we have to make sure that we are represented when it comes down to making bills, when it comes down to making laws, when it comes down to making all of the things that are important in our lives in America. We have to have a voice and what is going on, and the way we do that is to get out and vote and put people in position so that they will have our back, so to speak. And then the last thing we can talk about is the January 6th committee. The January 6th committee closed out its session of summer hearings with its most detailed focus yet on the investigation main target, that's former President Donald Trump. The panel examined Trump's actions on January 6, 2021, as hundreds of his supporters broke into the U.S. Capitol, guarding viewers minute by minute through the deeply tragic afternoon to show just what happened during that period of time. Several people lost their lives. The panel focuses on 107 minutes that day between the time that Trump ended his speech at 1:10 and until he finally sent out a tweet asking people to go home at 4:17. So there's been a great investigation going on, this January 6th committee, trying to find out exactly who was at fault, how did that happen, and can it ever happen again in America? That was a very frightful day to have so many people in Washington, D.C. climbing the walls of the Capitol, going into the Capitol building, sitting in the seat of the congressmen and senators and the Speaker of the House. That is a huge, huge problem with democracy in America. And how are we going to deal with that? What's going to happen with this January 6th committee? Is it going to happen again? If nothing is done, I guarantee you it will happen again, because those people who organized and structured such a protest will eventually do it again if there is no recourse for their action. So these are some of the topics that I want to talk about tonight. I want to open the lines, and I want you to talk about whatever one of these topics or two of these topics or three of these topics that you want to talk about. We want you to talk about them. Give us your idea as to what you think about these things and how they have affected you, if they have affected you, how we can fix them, if there's anything we can do to fix it. This is what the topical discussion is about tonight. So we're going to open the line, and we're going to start with top of the screen. We have just a few people on tonight. Area code 910, last four digits 5088. I believe that's Dickiness Rainey. Good evening, Dickiness Rainey. How are you tonight?
Doing great. Good. You said talk about one of the topics?
Yes,
Grief is one of the biggest factors right now. With coming out of COVID, a lot of lives lost, and what you were saying about other things came off, I thought that was very important too. But a lot of people lost relatives, and not all of it was due to COVID. You know, some of it was other things. But I think grief is a big factor in a lot of the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as the gun violence, and maybe the religious organizations reopening. That might be grief as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because
okay.
Grief is, it really doesn't have a time limit on it. You know, it can go on, and people can seek out help, you know, if it's available. But I think that's something that really suits you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, thank you. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening, Pastor Rogers. How are you?
Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm well. This is Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to touch briefly on a couple of them. The first one, you were saying reopening after the pandemic and the church numbers not really increasing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say with that, I think a lot of people got complacent with maybe sitting home in their pajamas and being able to
mm-hmm.
watch via the Facebook or, you know, however they may be listening through social media and not having to get out and get dressed and, you know, get everybody ready, get the family ready. I think maybe that had a lot to do with it. They just got complacent. It's like, oh, I'd rather stay home and just not get ready, and I can sit here and still hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
That could be one thing. I'm not 100% sure. And just to answer the second part of that, maybe going back out, I know we're still in a pandemic somewhat, and along with the monkeypox coming out, but maybe going back out, knocking on doors again, or even just talking to people at your job or that you run into and inviting them, maybe that will help increase the numbers. And then I think, honestly, just some people have gotten away from the church since
mm-hmm.
the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, for whatever reason, don't feel the need to go, I'm assuming. I don't know, but that's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then you were also, I wanted to comment on the January 6th. I just wanted to say with that, I'm just so thankful and so glad that the people that have come out to testify,
mm-hmm.
In the meeting that they did so, because a lot of them, if I don't know if people realize that if they watch those the sessions, they were saying how they had been threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had threats, whether it was verbally, you know, even people coming to their homes,
mm-hmm.
people following them. So I'm just so that they were brave enough to still come out and be able to testify.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. Let me ask you a question. You know, a lot of the information that the committee is getting is coming from whistleblowers, people who are telling, who are talking. What do you think about
uh-huh.
whistleblowers? What do you think about whistleblowers?
I'm actually happy for them as well, you know, that they are brave enough to do so, because I believe there was one where a son turned in his father, and his father told him, you know, if you turn me in, if you tell them, pretty much, you know, he would have, I think, nothing to do with him, or I think he even threatened him, threatened to harm him. But, you know, it's only the right thing to do if you know someone that was there. Because, you know, I feel, I don't know, I can't say what those people were thinking when they did that on January 6th. But to me, you had to have some hatred and some other things in your heart to do something like that. So, you know, I hope that answers your question. But, yeah, I'm kind of glad we have the whistleblowers that will, again, give us information that may not have necessarily been known had they not.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Ms. Mangum, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm good. I enjoyed everything that's been said so far, and I agree with everything that Sister Sherry just got to saying. And my phone, it went out and then it came back in, so I didn't really hear all that she said, so I didn't want to be repeating something.
So do you think people are using the pandemic as a excuse not to come to church? If so, why?
Oh yes, yes, I believe that they are using the pandemic for not coming to church, and I think why is because they don't want to come. And that's it. If it's in your heart that you want to do something, you know, you will do it. Make an effort to do it. But I just think that, and then it just got so comfortable with just, like Sure saying, I did hear that part, you know, like, you know, they can just sit at home and look at it, you know, and don't even have to, you know, dress and just be so casual. But that's not for me. You know.
All right.
I like the Lord to gather together, and that's what, you know, I like. And now that another thing on this right here, somebody has said, somebody mentioned something about that to take Facebook off and the church. Anyway, like, for instance, like your, I'm going to just use our church. Like, you should come off of Facebook because people not going to come back until, you know, you take that off of Facebook. But I don't think some, you might get a few people back, a couple back, but I think what they'll do is they just might go ahead and start looking at somebody else's service.
That's
that
probably
comes
what
on
they will
at
do.
Your time.
Right. That's
you
what they
what
will
saying?
Do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's not. Go ahead.
I think that problem has exacerbated us so bad that we just grasp at straws and we throw everything up against the wall to see if it'll work. And someone did mention that one time, but the thing is, as you said before, if people don't want to come, they're not going to come. They will find another avenue, whether it be another church to listen to, because all churches, I guarantee you, most churches are going to stay online. They're going to stay. A lot of people didn't know that a lot of churches were online before the pandemic. So churches are not coming off online. So I don't know whether that's going to be any kind of help to come off online at all. Let's speak to area code 919, last four digits, 2534. 2534, are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Good evening.
I just joined in. I got a little bit of the conversation there.
Okay. We're having topical discussions. Did you hear any of the topics?
Yeah, I just heard our Sister Sherry and Sister Magnum speaking about people using the pandemic as an excuse not to go to church or something.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
We're also talking about gun violence. We're also talking about the importance of voting. We're talking about the January 6th committee, and we're also talking about grief. Can you talk about grief? I know we've all had grief.
Yes, sir. Mankind, well, humans, we all experience grief, and we all deal with it differently. And even at this time now, I find that more and more people are starting to go to try to seek counseling, or they realize they need counseling and know that it's available, because we have been taught, especially I believe the African-American community, we keep things in and don't tell nobody else. I mean, now I said that, but when we talk about it and we talk to someone else a different color, we all have that same thing in common. Everybody, a lot of people, and through many races, you know, and communities, they keep things in and to themselves or in a very small circle. And a lot of times people just can't handle it, and they really need to talk to someone, because it starts to mess with their minds, you know. Mm-hmm. And it affects their lives, and it affects one person's lives. It's a chain reaction. It affects a whole bunch of people's lives. But what our people fail to realize is that same copay that we go to the doctor for, ingrown toenail or a cold or a COVID test, that same copay, whatever it might be, is the same copay to see someone that can talk to you that has a psychology degree. You know, I'm not saying that you're crazy because you go to talk to somebody, but that same $15, $10, $5, or even if you have a job that allows you not to have a copay, you can that same assistance is there for someone, you know, you can talk to that has a degree in psychology or behavioral degree, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor. This is Deacon Fuller call.
Deacon, how are you tonight?
Doing well, yourself.
Good. Any one of those topics you want to speak on?
You know, everybody, I think there's a pattern here tonight when everyone's talking about how important it is, the attendance in church over gun violence, over everything else, because I think it's fundamental that folks are in the presence of other Christian folk, because the church is a umbrella. The church is an umbrella. It's a support system. It is a network that is very key to the vitality of the Christian health, our health as Christians. God says where two or three are gathered there, he'll be also. Now, not to say I think viewing online classes, that's been around ever since I was in grad school, way back when, where we would sit in front of a screen, someone would be preaching or talking to you about a specific subject. In that capacity, I think it's fine, but from the capacity of a church, we can't use that. We can't use the excuse of COVID as a crutch anymore with all these other issues, mm-hmm. the gun violence issues, the January 6th incident, all these other things. People are hurting. People are dying in the streets. People are still being pulled over and shot. And mm-hmm. these are real things. Mm-hmm. And this I'm tying all this stuff in back to the fact that folks have to get in their minds. They need to make their way to church. Mm-hmm. They need to be around Christian people. You cannot mm-hmm. build relationships from standing in your living room all the time, watching a service, saying amen here and there. Mm-hmm. You cannot build a relationship with your brothers and sisters, in which you need, because everybody's going to need somebody at some point in time. Mm-hmm. We are getting older. Folks are going to have disease. Mm-hmm. People are going to have go through different things, divorces, loss of children, loss of spouses, and that's what the church is there for, as a network. when you don't attend church, you become disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have that network. You don't have that safety net anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's true. God is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. You can talk to God. You can be saved. But it was his all purposes and intent for us to be commingle with each other. We have to love each other. We have to love our enemies. We have to love Donald Trump. We cannot make it in heaven without hate in our heart. Bitter pill to swallow. I mean, that's something I struggle with. But going back to what I'm saying, going to church is the key for us, the black community, because we have been, still are, targeted and we're being crucified in ways that we weren't crucified in ways in the 60s. It's subtle now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh, thank you. Thank you for very much a wonderful, wonderful explanation. You talked about the fact that going to church is vitally important to the health of the community. And I think that's a very important statement right there. The community can only be as healthy as its religious part of it. If there is no religious part to the community, then of course then that calls for a very unhealthy, spiritually unhealthy community. And when a community is spiritually unhealthy, then it opens the door for other things to happen that will no doubt impact that community in a negative way. So we have to realize that that is a vital part of the community and vital to the health of our community. Going to the next level with that, gun violence. I mean, this gun violence is getting out of control. I mean, now I don't know. You know, there are people who get shot in church. You know, so you know what about this gun violence? What are we going to do about this gun violence? How can that be stemmed? You know, you pray, you ask God to make a way to change people's hearts, that they won't go out here and kill people. But it just seems as if we are a part of a gun culture. And because we are a part of a gun culture, it's just very hard for us to get away from violence through guns. Sherry, what do you think about the gun problem in America?
Sorry, I was trying to get you off of mute. Sorry. It is a very big problem and issue. You know, here in America, it to me all goes back to church. And when I say that, we now have the lack of church in our homes, a lot of us. We have the lack of church in the schools. We have the lack of church, you know, being able to speak about it in public, you know, because people don't agree, so they don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But gun violence is a very big problem in America. One, another thing is because they're making money off of it. They're making big-time money off of guns.
Uh-oh.
So they tend to want to put it at the top of this is one of the things we're not going to get rid of because look how much money it's bringing in. It's making people's pockets fat. So they don't want to get rid of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care because so many of the guns are being used, I'll just say, to kill minorities, minorities killing minorities. You know, so I don't know, you know, other than gun control and you know, raising the age limits and
mm-mm.
not selling certain types of guns, which they just don't want to do that. They're not going to do it. So,
$8 billion is made per year selling guns and ammunition. If you were making $8 billion a year, would you stop? Think about it. Would you actually stop doing that? So you hit the nail on the head when you said it's just too much money involved. Politics and money. Politics is involved,
yeah.
And so is
mm-hmm.
money. And whenever politics and money is involved, the welfare of the people always take a second seat. So they really don't care mm-hmm. about the people. They care more about the mm-hmm. income that it brings, the industry itself, the gun manufacturing industry itself, the amount of money that it bring in. And I'm just talking about on the street weapons. Now, the gun industry also sell weapons to the military. And we're talking about trillions of dollars there. So I haven't even talked about the military buying guns, but I'm talking about as far as personal people who buy guns. Does anybody know anyone who is a victim of gun violence? Does anybody know anybody who's a victim of gun violence? Anyone?
Absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Yes,
who do
I
you know? Who do you know? Speak up.
Okay. Well, yes, I've had a nephew that was shot back in 2016. Now, it wasn't fatal, thank God, but it was gun violence, just nonsense, you know, people arguing, can't get along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Deacon, go right ahead.
Yeah, my roommate who I was close with in A&T, we hung out with a guy, and that was from his hometown of Charlotte, went to Garinger. After I asked about where everybody was who graduated, but he got killed over a parking place in Charlotte. He pulled in, and they altercation ensued, and the guy pulled out, shot him in the head.
Wow. Over a parking spot?
Over a parking place. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I, too, have known people who have been victims of gun violence. And it just seems as if there's nothing that we can do other than keep praying and keep hoping that something will change the hearts of men and women everywhere, that we will put down the guns and begin to talk more to each other. I think that's the problem as well. We just don't talk or we don't communicate anymore. Every man for himself. And because of that, we just go directly to the gun.
Yeah.
Deacon Taylor.
Pastor, man.
Go right
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
May
go right
I
ahead.
Add something?
Go ahead.
As most of y'all know, I'm from the country. I grew up around guns. I was shooting guns at 5, 6 years old just because
mm-hmm.
we hunted. We still hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And we used – that gun was no different than a rake or a pitchfork. It was a tool to get something done. And it's odd to me now that folks, and I never shot a handgun. I shot a handgun maybe once or twice, but I never owned a handgun. Always long guns, stuff that I would use to go hunting and you know, that thing with my grandfather, my father, and family. But of late, I mean, I still hunt. Of late, and this is something to me, when the shooting, there was a shooting, another shooting in Connecticut some years back.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of pushed me to just use archery. I do archery more than I do bow and arrow. I mean, I hunt with gun
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But it did something to me. Over the years, but it's peculiar because even the folks I grew up with, it's like, I mean, when I was going to school, high school, there were guys that had guns in the gun racks of their trucks going at school.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different age and time that we live in. It's folks don't use words anymore. And I even talked to my father. Yeah, they had altercations and stuff in the 60s and 70s amongst each other. They used their hands, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't
You're
use
right,
guns.
Right.
And everybody and folks had guns. So
absolutely.
It's just a different way. Yeah.
I know you heard the story of the coach that got killed out in Texas. He is a man who volunteers his time. You don't get paid for Little League football coaching. And, mm-hmm. of course, the parents and the referees and all of them get into arguments, and somebody opened fire and killed one of the coaches of a Little League football
mm-hmm.
team who also does other work with football groups as well. It's just sad how so many people have lost their lives through gun violence. Ms. Mangum, voting. We got an election coming up in November. Have you looked at some of the people that are running for various offices? Have you made up your mind as to who you're going to vote for?
No. I looked at some of them, but I haven't quite made my mind up for sure.
How can we continue to encourage our people to vote?
Well, just have to keep talking about it. You know, just even if you have to have a phone tree, call, you know, your family or church members, and just ask them, you know, make sure they get out and vote. And all you can do is just tell people, and it's hopefully they will comply and get out and vote. Of course, like you said, voting is a necessity, you know, like for us.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
In a few weeks, we're going to have people come into the church who's going to want to speak to the congregation. Every time voting comes around, we always have somebody running for judge or somebody running for Congress or somebody running for some office that wants to come to the church and speak to us in the church. And so, Deacon Taylor, they come to the church because they feel that the church is a central part of the community. Going back to what Deacon Fuller said earlier about the vital health of the community, what do you think about that voting as far as voting is concerned? What do you think about the health of the community as far as voting is concerned?
A lot of people know that, as Deacon Fuller said, that the church is a place for religion, a place for spirituality, and when it comes down to it, from day to day, at that time, they notice it is a gathering place, and it is a place where a big push for whatever can be made, and people have started to lock into that and understand that. So yes, people understand that, politicians understand that we need to get, since we can't see everyone door to door, or we can't get everyone in a convention, we know on Sunday we can go to church and speak to a large group at a time on each and every Sunday, because they know that's where our community will be, and they can get their message across. Whether we heed it or not, they know they went to a place that could make an impact. The church makes an impact on everything in the community.
Right, right. Anybody who you think should run? Who should be the Democrat president candidate in 2024? Who should be the Democratic president candidate in 2024? Anybody?
Can we get Obama again?
I don't think they're going to let that happen. I don't think
that's
what you're
talking about. Some things too now.
You're talking about a riot. You're talking about a riot. So who do you think? Who do you think we should run? Democrat for president. Is there anybody? If not, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a problem. Yeah. If we don't have anyone, that we think can run for president in 2024 in the Democratic Party, then we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Republicans definitely got some folk going to run. They already know who they're going to vote for. Some of them go vote for Donald Trump again. I don't think he's going to run again. I don't think he's going to be elected again, put it that way. But there are others who are already beginning to jockey for positions to run in the Republican race. And so Democrats, we need to start thinking about who we're going to run in November, next November. Who's going to be the Democratic candidate or president? Well, I thank all of you for being on the line tonight for this topical discussion. We need to take this time out from time to time to talk about some of these things because they're very important. From all indication that what we talked about tonight the singular most important topic was the church, coming back to the church and how the church is so much so vital to the community and to the Christian in general. And it seems that a lot of things revolve around the African-American church. Voting revolves around that. Grief counseling revolves around that. Understanding what's going on in the news with our investigations revolves around it. And then there's a subject that we didn't even broach tonight, and that's suicide. There are so many people who are committing suicide. And that is a very deep problem. Perhaps our next topical discussion, we will talk about suicide. And another topic that we're going to be talking about in the next time we have a topical discussion is school. What about the educational system? There are 13,000 less teachers in North Carolina than it was last year. So how are we going to educate our children this year? What about the standardized testing that they have to go through? Or what is going to be the curriculum for education going forward? So there are a lot of things that we're going to need to be talking about, and perhaps we'll bring that up in our next conversation. But I thank all of you for being on the line tonight for this topical discussion. Next week, we'll go back to our scriptorial study, and we'll continue where we left off. And I just pray that we'll continue to keep these things in mind as we continue to serve the Lord. Deacon Taylor, would you pray for us tonight as we leave?
Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how, giving you thanks and praise for all that has been said, all that has been heard, all that has been put into our minds and our hearts to think about. Lord, we ask that you give us the answer, Lord. Lord, we don't know. Lord, we ask that you touch the minds and the hearts of those who have the things on their minds that are not a positive, Lord. Lord, we ask that you touch those people who are hearts are heavy and their minds are full and they just don't know which way to go, Lord. Lord, give them someone to talk to, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit down, Lord, to ease those thoughts in their minds, Father. Lord, give them the answers that they need, Father. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless the nation that's watching many things from home, church services, news, Lord. Lord, let us come back into the sanctuaries, Lord. Lord, let us be more active in our communities, Lord, instead of being bystanders, Lord. Lord, we ask for strength most of all, Father, to go from day to day during this pandemic time, Lord, during this season, Lord. We don't know when it's going to end. Lord, we hear that it's on the rise again, Father. We don't know, Lord, but you know, Father. I just ask that you step out once again and say, peace be still, and everything will be calm, Father. People's minds and hearts, everything in nature, everything that's going on, Father. Lord, we thank you most of all for being able to reach a whole lot of people at one time, and we're not even in the sanctuary. Thank you for the technology that we're using in the right way, Father, to reach people's hearts and minds. Lord, we ask that you bless the teacher. Lord, bless the students. Lord, bless the students to become teachers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank all of you tonight. We'll see you Sunday morning. Huh? Somebody say
good night.
Good night. Have a good night. Don't forget Fourth Sunday, Women's Day. All right. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.